When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another Kind of Funny review and breakdown of Secret Invasion. This time to the penultimate episode, episode 5. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I am keeping the good times rolling of having a bunch of fun special guests on this show. Very, very excited to sit down and be able to talk to Angelica Trey.
Hi.
How are you doing? So you're a Twitch streamer. You're on TikTok. People probably know you, I would say, best from the new girl TikToks and from the JJ the jet plane and the toad stuff that you do. Would you like to explain yourself?
Yeah, that was quite the entrance. I feel very eclectic now. I do a lot of cosplay, impression, and comedy sketches. So I do that alongside Twitch streaming, where I play games and I talk about a lot of nerdy stuff. So there's a lot of hats being worn and it's fun. You know, I'm either screaming on the internet about nerdy stuff or I'm screaming in a toad voice.
You know, very similar to a lot of the people we have here at Kind of Funny. So I feel there you go. Yeah, so that's Barrett for you. So yeah, you're going to fit right in here. I actually met you at Summer Game Fest. I saw you and I recognized you from internet nerd stuff, appearances you've made. And I was like, oh shit, I want to say hi. We started talking. I was like, oh man, she's super cool. So I'm really excited to finally get to actually make some content with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's good to be on the show.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, this is Kind of Funny Screencast. Each and every week, we get together to break down the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. You can watch it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Screencast, and we will be right there for you. If you want to go above and beyond, though, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go. Just like our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Nathan LaMothe have done, we appreciate all of you so very, very much. Today we're brought to you by Liquid IV, but I'll tell you about that later. Just a little housekeeping for you on the entertainment side of Kind of Funny here. We're going to be doing so much stuff. Next week will be our final episode of Secret Invasion breakdowns on the screencast side. But over on the in review side of things, this week we are continuing Nolan in review with Oppenheimer. Then don't worry, everybody's asking, when are we going to talk about Barbie? When are we talking about Barbie? Monday, we will be talking about Barbie. We're going to do a special one-off Barbie in review. We have some very special things planned for that I cannot wait for you to see. It's going to be ridiculous. And then the following week, we'll get the whole crew together to do our Secret Invasion in review. But enough about all of that. I got Angelica here. I want to get her thoughts on Secret Invasion. Let's start thus far of the whole show and then give me your thoughts on this episode in particular.
Thus far over the whole span of the show, it's been really cool to see what's become of Nick Fury. You know, we've just gotten a little bit of a closer look at his character, how he's changed over time, and how he's affected from, you know, certain events in the past, and a little bit of a glimpse to that because he's always been such a stoic character. So it's been a little neat to get a glimpse into, you know, more of the emotional side of things, more of the personal side of things, and also what he's been up to this whole time a little bit, you know, just getting more secrets uncovered during Secret Invasion. It's been a very action-packed show so far, and it's been cool to see some of the action scenes that we got in this latest episode.
Yeah, totally. Some of the most fun action we've had so far, I would say.
Yeah, I was like, is this, I feel like I'm playing Call of Duty right now. There was like one part instead of, you know what, we'll talk about it later. But I was like, damn, so like tactical right now. Yep. This is great. And so for this latest episode, I think we're doing a lot of buildup right now. You know, this episode's been, it's like that calm before the storm, even though it wasn't that calm, but we know there's going to be a big storm next week. So, you know, I feel like this one's just sort of like the buildup, you know, you feel all that tension.
Yeah, absolutely. Reminder for everybody, this is a spoiler filled show. So we're about to get totally into the spoilers of everything that's happened in Secret Invasion thus far. So yeah, my thoughts on this episode, I'm really into it. I'm still enjoying the show a lot. I feel like I was riding up a high on it where I'm like, you know what? I think this is going places I really like. And I feel like they're not quite getting there. So I still think the show is good, but I am a little let down in terms of the potential that the show has of like fitting that Winter Soldier vibe and like the cast being as amazing as it is, Olivia Colman having Don Cheadle and Samuel L. Jackson be able to have as much screen time together is just so great. The supporting cast is just fantastic as well. But I feel like the story is starting to get a little repetitive in the, all right, now this person died, or did they? Now they're back, or are they? Are they who they say they are? I don't know. And I feel like it all makes sense. It's all adding up. I just am finding myself not being extremely interested in it all. Having said that, this episode ending with the Nick Fury suit up moment of him putting his eye patch back on, it's so dumb. It's so exciting. It's so hype. Him being like, let's finish this. I'm like, you know what? This seems rushed, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, well, just going off of what you mentioned in terms of pacing, you know, this was previously supposed to be a movie. So them trying to pace this out over the course of a show and convert it over to a series, it's like, okay, if you understand it within that context, it makes more sense. But still, you know, you want to have this even pacing with a ton of action-packed scenes in each and every episode. I think for me, you know, when I heard that it was going to be espionage and it was probably going to be a little bit more of that slow burn, you know, whodunit, who's a Skrull, who's actually who they say they are type situation, I felt like it was going to be a little bit more slow, and then we're going to have those like bam, you know, combat scenes. So for me, it's living a little bit up to that action path, yeah, like that pacing.
And I do think we were kind of hinting at it earlier. I think that the action in the show so far, some of it has felt a little bit like that TV quality that we kind of criticized. Like there was that meat locker fight a couple episodes back that to me just didn't quite hit. I think the violence in the show is hitting, like in this episode. Yeah. My God, when he does like the Groot arm thing through the dude and then the blood just spills out and it's like a bucket of blood just being poured out. I just did not see that coming, and I probably should have based on how much violence and ridiculous gore has been in the show so far. But I do think the action scene in this episode was legitimately awesome. And I think that having Emilia Clarke and Priscilla, Nick Fury's wife, be able to strap on those backpacks with the guns and have a super fun choreographed action scene like that just kept kind of rising. I think this is where you're talking about the Call of Duty stuff. Like, the moment that they kind of like kicked a whole bunch of ass and then motherfuckers dropped down from the skylight like Mission Impossible style, I was like, this is hilarious. Are we watching Secret Invasion or the next Karate Kid right now? I am so into this.
There was a point during that scene too where I actually had to go back because it was so fast. But all of a sudden I look over and Gaia's got that full tactical like vest on. And I went, whoa, 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 when did she get that on? Everything just happened so quickly. And by the end of it, I felt like I was watching this full just tactical whatever just happened. But it was really cool to watch. And the choreography was great for stunts and everything. I was just like, whoa, when did that vest get on? Like, when did everyone get just insanely tactical? But it was cool to see the lockbox, you know, pulling the gun out. Like, they were very meticulous about it. It just happened so fast.
And, you know, I appreciate it. I think something that I've, like, enjoyed the most about the show is the kind of two characters just sitting down normally at a table, having a conversation about stuff and giving us those MCU details and the lore that we love, but then also kind of, like, trying to make it a little bit more than just that and, like, dealing with some of the race stuff or dealing with just, like, the histories of these characters or revealing the kind of beautiful backstory of Nick Fury and his wife and her being a Skrull and like how he's dealt with that or not dealt with it, not having to care. This episode diving into that even a little deeper with the conversation between Priscilla and Gaia, I thought was done so well where they were having the conversation about Fury, about Talos just dying, the father of Gaia. Like, it's a lot of intense stuff going on. But for Priscilla to immediately call her out and just be like, hey, you're young. Like, you're being offensive. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how hard this all is. Like, stop talking. You think you know everything, but you don't. I feel like that's the type of writing that I don't usually get from MCU shows. And I just thought that they did a really good job to have that moment transition seamlessly into this insane fight scene.
Yeah, totally. And just going off of that as well, we've been seeing, you know, just as we're moving through the MCU, we're seeing a lot of older characters. We're getting, you know, that intro of younger Avengers coming in, and we're all feeling that shift of like, okay, we've got some of the older folks here, and then we've got some of the younger folks, and how is Marvel going to handle that? And so we've been seeing a lot of that discomfort almost through comments like that in the MCU, and especially in Secret Invasion. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because it's like, yeah, there's been a lot of that, those moments where, yep, it's like, oh, you're getting older, oh, you're aging, oh, you don't know better. You know, we're seeing a little bit of that tension between older and younger here, and as Fury's, you know, also aging, there's been a lot of comments about, oh, yeah, that during the series. So yeah, big deal.
And
big
I theme. Thought that they handled that really well too in this one, where, so having that, the conversation between Priscilla and Gaia, have Priscilla be like, Gaia being like, why would you stay in this house when you know people are coming to execute you? And she's like, hey, it's my terms. Let them come at me. I'm going to be ready for them, whatever. And for that conversation to be cut off with the explosion and all the tactical green laser lights coming through, it's like, oh, man. But they were ready to go because they're warriors. Like, they've done this. They've had to fight for so long. Yeah. And I thought that it made sense, and especially it being Fury's wife. Like, I love seeing her kind of as her own character and, like, be a badass herself and, like, be playing games and be manipulative in her own Fury way, right? Right? That we've gotten hinted at throughout the show, but I feel like this episode really was her coming to her own as a character that I thought was, like, really well done.
Yeah, I thought that was great. It was funny because, yeah, that transition from the dialogue talking about how she's, you know, she's staying, you know, in the house. She likes this place, you know, this is her spot and this is where she's going to go. And she's going to go on her terms type situation. Yep. I turned to the person I was watching this episode with and I went, she just manifested that, because it immediately went, boom, into the combat. Yeah. I was like, whoa, that was manifested.
Yeah. So you were bringing up the whole Fury being old and people constantly referencing that. And I feel like the phrase, like, Fury, you
I'm
used
not
to be
saying he's old.
No. But the characters say it. The characters are saying it. Like, yeah, they keep just hammering home the idea that, like, you used to be five steps ahead. You're not anymore. And something that I didn't love about this episode is it shows that Fury still is five steps ahead. Like, he still knows what's happening for the most part. But I didn't like Olivia Colman's character kind of not knowing about Rhodey being a Skrull and, like, giving up the information to him and her being so surprised and Fury just kind of being like, yeah, he's a Skrull, and her being like, oh, wow, like, not knowing it. Something about that just felt like all the development that character had just went out the window just because this is the second to last episode. I feel like that was like a little bit of a cop-out to me.
You're saying in terms of
Olivia
of
Colman's Sonya's character.
Yeah, I did kind of notice that too, because it definitely felt like, you know, previously in the episode, she was so badass and she would just straight up call out, you know, hi, Skrulls. Hi. Oh, you're a Skrull. Like, they're, you know, like, she's been somewhat all-knowing, you know, and super cool like that. Like, she was able to point them out. And then in that moment, even just tonally, it got broken because she went, you know, he's a Skrull? And then, well, everyone is, you know, so it was kind of a brush-off scene. So I totally understand what you're talking about, because it was like, wait, I thought that you were probably the most hyper-vigilant person in this situation. And for you to be confused and just kind of brush it off is so weird, because previously you'd been so
on it.
Yeah, just so on top of it and, like, able to call it out and be like, oh, I suspect it or something, you know, that might have been a better response. So that did derail things a little bit.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it's like, okay, well, now she knows. So hopefully she can do some more badass stuff
I guess. Totally. So going to the main, like, kind of plot advancement of this episode. So last episode ends with the whole attempted murder of the president, right? And that didn't work out. The president ends up in the hospital, but Talos ends up dying. And we kind of see the next point of that, of the president kind of like being in critical condition, like really bad. And then the Skrull's plan changing, of them being like, all right, we're going to keep him alive. And Gravik being like, I'm going to take advantage of the situation. The new plan is to start World War III by making the American president believe that Russia and the Skrulls are working together. And that was a plan that he came up with because Skrulls are now revealed to the people via the news. Like, we saw shape-shifting aliens. We actually saw the proof of it. That's going to cause a lot of problems. So for them to be able to solve that by being like, yeah, they're with the Russians, and the proof is we know where their base is and all of that. What do you think about that plan and that kind of, like, being the next step of Gravik's entire kind of situation he has going on?
Right. So I think in terms of that plan, it's a good showcase of Gravik's character and how he's willing to just pivot suddenly. We're seeing him lose control here. Obviously, I think the plan is a little bit, it's less neat, but it's him having to go with the flow, so to speak, and having to pivot. And so, yeah, it just showcases his character as being quick on his feet. They set him up as a clever character in some of those flashbacks, right, in previous episodes. You know, he's a clever kid. He's smart. We're seeing him be just hyper-aggressive. We're seeing some turmoil among the Skrulls now. And he's realizing, okay, well, now everyone knows we're here, so let's see if we can pivot and figure out how to still get the same goals, but we're going to have to do it out in the open. I'm sure, you know, there's some semblance of like, okay, maybe he'll use the hysteria of Skrulls being known now to his advantage. But yeah, I'm sure that it's not an ideal plan for him, but it's something that it just showcases how smart he is and how quickly he's willing to pivot.
And
even though he needs to calm down with that sugar in his coffee.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But I mean, I feel like that the willingness to pivot and the, like, by any means necessary, like, he made that choice and then immediately, like, the Skrulls turn on him. Like, they rebel. They're like, no, we ain't doing this. And then he just starts murking fools. Like, he's killing them. And I thought it was wild that they attempted to subdue him. They attempted to kill him, really. Like, they put the plastic around his head and, like, were, like, all a group of them trying to beat the shit out of him. And he overpowered them all. And I think that goes to the Super Skrull aspect of it. Of, we know he has the Extremis. We've seen him heal himself. We know he has the group power. We can assume he has some of the other powers from the couple episodes ago when they showed the other things. But now we know the plan, like the active plan. And a big question I've had throughout the show has been, why don't they just kill Fury? Like, They have had him right in their grasp the entire time, but now we know it's because Fury's the only person that has access to the Avengers' blood, and they're trying to get that to create Super Skrulls based on the Avengers, including Carol Danvers. The fact that they called that out, I was like, this is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, we get a little bit more context here, because I remember in previous episodes going, why are they keeping him alive? This is so weird. Is this some sort of, you know, just plot thing so they can keep the show going? So that was really nice to get that context and that justification of, oh, okay, this thing I've been irritated with and was questioning is now, you know, that's like, it's cool now. I get it. And we have that backstory as well. So it's been, yeah, just like that reveal was really helpful. And now we'll see what happens to Fury, because he's on a bit of a reckless path here. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But also, you mentioning with Gravik and all of the Skrulls turning on each other, I think that's also a testament to how multidimensional the Skrulls are. Like, I don't think that they're bad. They're just trying to, I like them as characters written in the MCU, you know, because they're trying to find a home, and you're seeing all of these different dimensions to that. And they are willing to question maybe a current leader when it's not working out for them, and maybe they're questioning some of the methods.
I'm
really enjoying the writing and everything that's set up in this latest episode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are people, and I feel like the MCU has done a great job of showing that, especially starting their introduction being Captain Marvel, and the way that they showed it, it's like we all expect them to be the bad guys, but actually they weren't. They were on the side of Captain Marvel, and like the promises made in that movie are kind of the whole jumping off point of what this show is. Speaking of that, though, I was rewatching bits of Captain Marvel because I got some theories about Gravik himself, but I forgot that there is the young girl Skrull that hangs out with a young Monica Rambeau in Captain Marvel. And I always thought going into this that the theory would be that would be Emilia Clarke's character. Right. So I'm kind of surprised that it's not that. So far, they haven't referenced that Skrull girl yet, who I don't know if I must Wait, be.
Isn't Emilia Clarke's character what's his face's daughter?
Talos's daughter?
Yeah.
Is that the same character, though?
I believe so.
Okay, so it is. That just seems weird then. It seems weird that we are presumably not going to get a Monica Rambeau conversation with Emilia Clarke's character. Although, well, I guess maybe in the future.
They just hung out for like a day, as far as we know, you know?
Yeah. This seems like a gun in the first act type situation. Maybe I'm totally off about this, but
I think that this like Secret Invasion feels a little bit more contained, you know, like, oh, we're not bringing in the Avengers, you know, they're not bringing in too many other characters right now, but it will be setting up for things. I think we'll start to see a lot of setup in the next episode, because we've already seen some little hints and things from like Marvel's trailers. I won't go too into it, but like we see some characters from Secret Invasion in certain places, so we already have an idea of what might get set up in this next episode. But I think that we'll probably see Gaia reunite, or Emilia Clarke's character reunite, with Monica Rambeau at some point. I think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, because like now I'm thinking about it even more. Monica Rambeau, last we saw her was the end of WandaVision, when the Skrulls are like, go see Fury, he's up there. So these things are all connected in a way. I'm not expecting to see her necessarily in this show. Another question I have for you in terms of MCU stuff, I'm a little hazy on here. Captain Marvel, haven't seen in a long time. Black Widow, I saw in theaters and I haven't seen since. This episode featured a pretty big cameo or reappearance of an MCU character that we haven't seen since Black Widow. I don't remember anything about him, though. I just remember him bobbing up. I was like, oh yeah, this guy was in Black Widow. Do you remember what his deal is?
Same. He's like the really just chill, cool guy that comes in and helps people. Like that's
kind of it, right?
Him. Yeah, he's really cool. Like I saw him in this latest episode and went, oh, you. I think he's just like this fun character, and I'm glad that they still maintained his comedic relief tone. Yep. But still, you know, it's always tough to see such a like strong character get told, oh, you're grumpy, take a nap, ooh, you know, type thing. But it was cool to see him again and know, okay, this guy's around, he's just flying people places, like this is cool. So maybe we'll see him pop up in future stuff, but I thought that was funny. I was like, oh, is this this little Easter egg kind of thing? Like,
yeah,
is this hinting to something?
I mean, I think it was just them trying to really connect this into that more grounded spy thriller side of the MCU, where Winter Soldier and Black Widow both kind of fall. But yeah, because I remember in Black Widow, like he helped them travel. He helped them get place to place, right? And then in this one, too, it seems to be semi the case. But there was the line of Fury being like, I'm going to Finland. And he said it in the TV movie way of like, okay, cool. He's going there so we can see something that we are familiar with. And I just did not expect it to be this character. So that genuinely caught me by surprise. But it also was one of those things where I'm like, man, I am into this MCU stuff. And I had to question, is that the guy I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it is the guy you're thinking of, and he's back around. He's just hanging out. He's been having a good time this whole time.
Yeah. So we're going to keep this going. I want to take a quick word from our sponsors. When we get back, we're going to give some theories on what we think is going to happen in the next episode of Secret Invasion. This episode is brought to you by Liquid IV. Y'all know how much I love to stay hydrated, and Liquid IV makes it easier and better than ever to ensure that I'm always living my best, most hydrated life. And you can too. Liquid IV, the number one powered hydration brand in America, is now available in sugar-free with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and you can keep your daily routine exciting with 3 new flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Let me tell you, the white peach is good. It's real good. We hear it kind of funny, swear by this stuff. 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Now sugar-free. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplayer sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code kindoffunny at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you use promo code kind of funny at liquidiv.com. So Angelica, we got to talk about our theories. All right, we're getting to the finale next week, which seems a little bit wild. Having said that, I do think that this episode sets us up in a way where we know what's happening. The stakes are pretty much set. We know what's there. The president is not in great shape. Do you have any predictions you want to start with here?
A lot of my predictions are trying to connect things from what I've seen from trailers, like Marvel.
Go for it. You can talk about it.
Trailers.
Wait, from here on out, everyone, if you don't want to hear that stuff, you can leave. But for everyone else, hey, we've seen the trailers. Go for it.
So overall, I think that obviously there's going to be a standoff between Gravik and Fury next week. I think that Gravik's going to maybe get the Super Scroll powers. And I think that it would just be such a weird pacing, you know, just anticlimactic if he didn't. But I'm still trying to figure out how they're going to stop him. Maybe all of the Skrulls and everyone's going to team up somehow. I think that in the long run, from what I've seen from other trailers, I do think that Fury is going to end up back at Saber. I think Gaia's going to end up over there with him as well. And then maybe we'll get a Monica Rambeau teaser. So that's what I'm thinking in terms of that. But I think that Gravik will get Super Scroll powers, and it's going to take, I don't know, it's going to take a whole army to take him down. And maybe even a lot of the Skrulls will team up as well.
I would be surprised if they give him the Avengers Super Scroll powers. Like, I feel like both budget-wise and, like, they've made it pretty clear the other heroes aren't coming. Like, this episode now tripled down on Fury saying something to the extent of, like, I'm not hitting up my homies because this is my personal thing, which is a weird thing to say, but sure, whatever, dude. So I don't know if we're going to, like, if it goes all the way there, but I feel like I'm starting to lose steam on being 100% sure of this, but I still believe that Gravik is Talos's wife. Like, the fact that we did not see Talos's wife in the show at all, but she's referenced in every episode over and over and over, it's like something about it just doesn't add up that she had an off-screen death when she is one of the only 2 Skrulls that we knew before this show.
But what about the flashbacks, though, where we saw little kid Gravik?
I mean, but that's the thing with the Skrulls, they could look like anything. So it's like,
that's true.
Yeah, again, I feel like this episode more than any has made me have a little bit more like, all right, maybe that's not the case. Because we do see, if I remember correctly, we see him transform in this episode for the first time.
I think we saw, didn't we see him transform in the last episode too? You're talking about Gravik?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what, that wasn't Gravik though, that was Rhodey.
Right, okay. Yeah. I'm confusing it right now. Okay, so you're saying Gravik is Talos is okay.
But again, just a theory, just something I'm throwing out there that I'm starting to get theory. Less confident on. But let's just hold it. Let's see next week. But then
it's a fun theory though.
The other thing that I want your theory on, your prediction on, is this episode ends with Fury suiting up, classic jacket, puts on the eye patch. He goes out. He says, let's end this. He makes a phone call. Oh, there we go. There we go. He makes the phone call to somebody. Who is it?
I think that it's, see, the phone call. I think he's making a phone call. Ooh, yeah, that's a good question.
I got one. I got one if you want me to start.
You start.
It's Maria Hill. It's 100% Maria Hill. In this episode, when Fury gets exposed to the world, all right, and they're like, on the news, Nick Fury has killed Maria Hill. There's no way to get public sentiment back on his side if that's the case. The only way is, hey, neither of us are dead. Those were Skrulls.
I like that theory, but usually after Skrulls, well, after Skrulls die, though, they turn back into their Skrull form.
Yeah.
But... so if it was Maria, if the Maria Hill that we saw die, if that was, or you think they saved her?
I don't know. Somehow. But there was some, I mean, the amount of times this show has done a fake out death or like variations on it, they can do anything they want. I want
that to be true.
But like, we'll see. We'll see. And again, I just don't know who else it could be. But like, I think that that would add up story-wise just to the point of Fury needing someone and being five steps ahead. The show needs to prove that Fury still got it. And I think that if he has been okay with this all, like because he knows Maria Hill is actually okay, it could add up a bit. But not the most exciting thing. But I think they can make it work. And I feel like they'd be able to have answers that don't actually contradict the previous plot. But they need to be smart about it.
Yeah, and I do like that theory because it would be a cool subversion on what we've seen with the Skrulls, where they're assuming people's identities after they die and sort of ignoring people's deaths in this, essentially, so they can continue their lives. So it'd be cool to see a subversion on that with Maria Hill, and she is just really alive, but she's like presumed not around, and that would explain some of the less reactivity to the guilt trip, at least when Hill's mom was like guilting Fury really hard in the last episode, because I felt so bad when I was watching that. So that would be a little bit easier on my mind, at least, because it just looked like Fury was like, no, you know?
Totally. Now, there's also other potential options here. She could not be a Skrull. She could just have not died. And I think evidence to that are the focus in this episode on Fury being like, the dead men are the only people that can't tell secrets. And like, I have a million places I'm dead, like having tombstones all around the world, essentially, and all that. It's like, it's kind of hinting at the fact that like, look, man, I've died before and I'm here. So Maria Hill dying, she might still be alive, even if it's not the Skrull angle. But to triple down on the Skrull thing a little bit more, and again, I'm going to need a little help on this in chat. Let me know if I'm wrong, or comments. Let me know if I'm wrong about this too. But we've seen Gaia, Amelia Clark's character, die, but because she took the Super Skrull stuff to some extent, able to use the Extremis shit, and she's alive. Did that stuff exist in any form before this, or did we see the first uses of it in that case?
I think this was the first use of this particular Super Skrull. I always want to say serum now because MCU, but like the Super Skrull skills, right? Like she got to use it within a limited time. I think in that same scene, I was kind of hoping that maybe it was also used on Talos too, but I don't think that was the case. I really didn't want him to go.
I think Talos is dead. I'm sorry.
Okay, you think like Talos's wife, you think she's around, but you think that Talos is dead? You're saying all these people survive, okay? Maybe he's still alive.
Maybe. I think that his death is the one that makes the most sense, because from all the rules we know, he's dead.
We also saw his funeral.
We saw his funeral. We saw his body, his dead body being burned. So
we don't know. Look, we don't. No one will ever know. I guess we can't answer this ever. I'm just in denial right now.
So, we'll see how that all goes. I will say that one theory that I had from early on in the series that I'm still fairly confident in. However, I think that it's starting to, we're just getting crowded towards this final episode of like, how much can they actually pack in here? I still think that we're going to get the death of this president. And with that, we know that Thunderbolt Ross is going to become the new president, who's Harrison Ford. Getting Harrison Ford in this show would be absolutely wild. I don't know about like the how that would work from a pay perspective, cameo perspective, all of that stuff. But I do think having him in like a post-credit scene to set up the future could be really interesting and would make sense, especially if you add in Julia Louis-Dreyfus in any way to connect those dots. But I feel like if that were really going to happen, we would have got some of the setup in this episode. And we didn't get too much. However, getting as much focus on the president in this episode, I'm like, they're showing he's in real bad shape. So maybe.
Yeah, I do think that they're going to set up for that as well, to have Ross come in for like filling that role. I don't know how exactly they will kill the president. Maybe like Rhodey, something will happen where they're like, okay, this is some last ditch pivoting effort in order to create a war, right, for the Skrulls. But I do think if they did try to bring him in, it would probably happen maybe at the end of the episode. And I think that they won't get a cameo, but maybe they'll pull up a picture.
Like a picture. No, I think that that is probably the right expectation of it. Of like, oh man, the president said, who's next in line? It's Thunderbolt Ross. And then we see a picture and now it's Harrison Ford.
It's going to be a scroll up on a computer screen, you know, like, oh, who's next up? And it'll just like his picture will scroll up and it'll be like, boom, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like that's not out of the realm of possibility. I do think that they're kind of like setting up towards that. Besides those, do you have any predictions for next week?
Predictions. I'm trying not to make a joke about Gravik getting a massive sugar high, but I think that, yeah, in the end, the sugar is going to kill him because that's just way too much for any person. That's ridiculous. I think that Gravik is going to get Super Skrull abilities. He's going to come down from a sugar high and they're going to be able to defeat him with his abilities because the sugar is just too much for his system.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I think that he'll maybe. Here's the thing. It doesn't make sense for Fury to hold on to this just, you know, absolute bombshell of like
DNA.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of hoping that he's going to be clever about it and maybe swap it out with something. It'll be a dupe.
Yeah.
Avengers DNA dupe, you know?
Yeah, but it'll be like Hawkeye's DNA and they'll be like, great.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Now he can jump on Christmas trees and survive sliding down 20 stories. Yeah, so I'm hoping that Fury's going to be clever about that the next episode. I think we're going to get set up for some, you know, work with Saber. And then, yeah, I think that there's going to maybe get a Skrull clean out, you know, within the government. I think that hopefully we can get, I don't know, some sort of resolution with the Skrulls, but I think there's going to be a little bit of more internal just Skrull takedown there. I think that we're going to set up for Fury and Gaia to probably end up at Saber, and we'll get an Easter egg with Ross and Monica Rambeau.
Okay, cool. Wow. So yeah, we're fairly aligned on this. I do think that we're asking a lot there, but I think it also kind of just makes sense. I don't know that any of that really provides a satisfying ending to this show, but I do think that it's in line with what the show's given us so far. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Not too long, 1 week, and we'll get this finale. And then after that, we have Ahsoka, which we will be doing our Star Wars breakdowns with me, Barrett, and Sage and Carboni. And then we got Loki season 2 coming at the right after that, which like is wild to me that we're getting that. It feels so soon, even though it's been years since the first season.
I've been waiting for so long for Loki season 2. I loved season 1, so I'm like, yes, inject it into my veins.
What are your favorite of the MCU shows thus far?
I really loved, let's see, my brain's kind of like working from now back, but obviously I love, they came out with an absolute bang, you know, with WandaVision and then Loki. I think those two were my probably a couple of my favorites. That was such a good era for me because it was
those
just
are my favorites for sure.
Okay, yeah, they were just so beautiful and artistic, and getting to the core of some of these characters in such a beautiful way. But also, I love some of these, you know, lighter, more fun shows. We got Miss Marvel, you know, setting up for so much, and also She-Hulk was just a really, really fun series to watch. So, you know, I have favorites, but they're favorites for different reasons. Of course, I love the heartfelt, just like grief. The grief story that was WandaVision, I wanted more. It was like, give me more morsels. I wanted to see more of her and of Vision. We'll see what happens with White Vision. Hopefully.
Yeah, Vision Quest and with Agatha. What's the name of the show nowadays? They keep changing it. It's not House of Harkness, Coven of Chaos. I think that's where it's at right now. Coven of Chaos.
Yeah.
But it's coming at some point. Anyway,
the show.
Angelica, it's been a great time hanging out and talking to you here. Where can people find you and what's the best way to support you out there?
Oh, you can find me over on Twitch at Atray, AYYTRAE. I'm streaming most days of the week, talking about nerd news and playing video games. I'm also just all around online talking about just nerdy stuff all the time. This is like my favorite thing to talk about and theorize about. So you could find me over on places like Twitter, Atray. There's maybe a few spots I'm Angelica Trey if you search it up. But it was so good to be here. And I'm excited to, you know, talk about more Marvel works, more stuff coming down the pipeline.
What games do you normally play on Twitch? You like variety streamer, or do you focus on a couple specific things?
I'm a variety streamer, but I do very, very much like playing a lot of role-playing games or survival games. I can't talk suddenly, but I definitely like huge fan of things like, you know, franchises like The Last of Us. I just played through Subnautica, which is a great sci-fi game. Also survival. And I just started on Jedi Survivor.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Well, go support her there. Twitch, Twitter, all the different places. And let us know in the comments below what you thought about this episode of Secret Invasion and what predictions you have for the finale next week. We will be back next week to talk all about it. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.